Well, just to interrupt a little bit. So you're talking to congressmen. I've dealt with going down the political road to get things done that I know that I needed to get done, very much like yourself, just different circumstances. And so when I was talking to people, they said, I was suggested to me, talk to your senators. So I always find a little interesting the information, or however we decide to go down to that political road, whether you decide to talk to a congressman or a senator, and how long would it did, and I know it's probably in the book, Brian, but when you get in the Congress and the Senate, and you get get them to get past the politics, if you will, and come to one, which when it comes to the veterans, you would think that would be a no-brainer. You would think, right? Once you did that, how long, and I know you probably have the exact number, once you contact him, once you say, I'm going to pull this trigger and go to the politicians, how long did it take going from the first politician to the last politician before you got what's on your chest there called the tally bill, actually check mark, okay, and we're good to go? Did that take more than a year, 2 years, months?
It took three years.
3 years.
And 2 terms of Congress, 115th Congress and the 116th Congress. It took 4 bills, H.R. 3813, H.R. 4526, H.R. 7105, and Senate Bill 4883.
Well, you got them all memorized.
I mean, it's still my life. I had to completely change who I was as a person. You know, I was a custom landscaper. I was a guy who built beautiful landscapes, retaining walls and marvelous water features and putting greens. And I worked in multi-million dollar communities, and I was really good at it. And now I found myself not being college educated, not being able to effectively communicate. How do I do this? How do I write letters that makes sense? How do I type emails? I mean, I was a boots on the ground custom landscaper. Yeah, I did contracts and stuff like that with my customers, but it's a different animal when you're walking the halls of Congress going door
to
door.
Was it hard to actually talk to the politician as a person? Was it hard to have them actually listen to you? Did you feel that they were paying attention?
I could answer that one, but go ahead.
You know, when you get time, you know, I've sat down with hundreds of them. And you don't get a very long time. And a lot of the times the work is done in passing. I remember getting a lot of this work done in elevators because you couldn't get appointments with everybody. So I'd be walking down the hall and a congressman would walk by and I'm like, hey. And I would hand him a copy of my bill. And I said, this is nothing yet. This is something that I had to draft because I don't have a congressman. Do you want to be my congressman?
That's right.
And so essentially I had to be my own honorary member of Congress. And that's exactly what I did. I held myself as a congressman. I walked like a congressman. But the only difference between me and them is I was a man of integrity and I was a man of honor. And I was in there to do a job that these members of Congress have failed to do for the American people for far too long. This loophole has been in since 1946, okay? And the majority of the people that fall victim to this die or they give up because it is so hard to make it through, especially after you've lost your health. So to be in the circumstances that I was in, I went in there with, with the mission. And you were wrong about, oh, well, they should just come together because it's for the veterans, right? Wrong. It took 50 years to have the Blue Water Navy. The Blue Water Navy veterans, for them to even get any sort of compensation from Agent Orange exposure. 50 years. You want to know why I know that? Because I was in there advocating with a lot of those guys from the VFW and the DAV and the American Legion and spouses of their husbands that have passed away because of blisters and stuff on their body that they've had for years and years from Agent Orange. It took 50 years to get that passed. And then after it got passed, they put it on a one-year stall. Because delay, deny until you die is real. And again, I'm not anti-VA. I am not anti-VA. I went there. I worked with them. We got things done. I was able to close this loophole because I put so much pressure on them to do the right thing because I got heavily involved with the media. I began to effectively communicate. I became so passionate about this that it became my obsession. Every second, every minute, every hour of every single day, not one second that did not go by that I was not eating, drinking, sleeping, shitting the tally bill.
Hey, man.
Because that was my mission. And when I set out on this mission, I prayed over that tub. And I promised myself that I would do this until the very end, and I would not waver. And once I engage in something, I get it done because I have a very obsessive type behavior. So when I engage, when I say I'm in, I'm in. And I'll be in until that job is done, until that mission is accomplished. And it was tough. I had to do this in the most divided Congress in the history of our country. I mean, just think about that.
Man, on top of that, you said something.
Yeah.
You said something a little bit not long ago where you were talking about that you pray to God and you want to do something. God has put you on a new path. I totally believe that. I totally believe that God is saying, okay, you know what, Brian? This is what we're going to do. We're going to start helping vets. Because that's how I feel for myself. Because I was almost in the same boat. Because my VA doctor says, oh, this was caused by chemical exposure. But and then when I say, hey, write it down, oh, they can't write it down. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay. And now I got pissed. And that's where we're at today with me doing this. And that's what I totally believe. But I want to trace a little bit back, just a tiny bit. When you were sitting there talking about when you're going to door to door to congressmen and congressmen, and then you felt you had to be your own politician.
I did.
And when you were in there and you hear all these congressmen during voting time on both sides of the damn aisle sit there and talk about how patriotic they are and they love their troops. Did it feel like to you they love the troops, or did it feel like that they're just saying it?
Well, it's hard. You know, I there are some members in Congress that are there in their heart is in the right place.
I agree with that.
But there's a lot that aren't. And to go on there, and I could sense it really quick. And it didn't matter what side of the aisle I was on, because I saw it on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
But the one thing I did that has never been done, in fact, never, I was able to sit down at the table and I earned that seat. Because I told them, look, guys, I don't have a member of Congress. So you're my lifeline. You're going to be the guy or the girl that's going to get this bill across the finish line. And I had so much media behind me driving the story. I mean, this was a national news story for years. And they followed me all the way down. And I had to do this, not only in a divided Congress, but I had to do this during riots and our country burning. I had to do this during COVID. I had to do this during the Soleimani killing. I had to do this through presidential House impeachments. I had to do this through Senate presidential impeachments. Everything that could have gone wrong during the 3 years that I was engaged in Congress did. So that means anytime that there's a massive breaking news story, the media wasn't talking about my story. They weren't reaching out to members of Congress, asking them why they weren't signing on to the tally bill. Why is this law still here? It's horrible. There's 20.2 million American veterans that are at risk right now, and we need to get this done. It's a simple transparency law. It's such an easy change. And I said, look, let's just make an administrative change. Let's just make an administrative change. Go to Section 7010, whatever, in the Federal Tort Claims Act, and just write in there that there will be full transparency and that, you know, when veterans file their tort claims, that they will know who the clinician is within 30 days. So they know which route to go. Do I sue in state court or do I sue with the federal tort claim? And it's so easy, but the loophole is so dangerous. And it's so profitable. But like I said, what I was able to do is this. I was able to earn my seat at that table. I earned my keep in there. After I had one bill, they started to recognize me. two bills, they're like, yeah, this guy's not going away. Three bills, boom, I had that seat at the table, and I did not ever give up my seat until my mission was complete. And what I mean by that is that I was able to sit down with people like Rashida Tlaib, signed on to my bill. Mark Meadows was a champion. How did I bring Tlaib and Meadows together? These people hate each other. Ask yourself that question right there.
I'm trying to figure it out myself.
Okay, so I had dozens and dozens and dozens of champions. And I had to influence people like that to say, look, Congressman Meadows, who would go on to be the chief of staff of President Trump, he introduced two of my bills in two separate Congresses. I never showed my political affiliation when I was doing this. I never showed anything like that. I went in there and I spoke like I was a recruit in boot camp. I spoke in third person. I didn't speak about me. I said, the veteran community is an at-risk population. The veteran community continues to be let down by this 74-year VA legal loophole that has destroyed the lives of veterans and their families for generations. I went to my copy and print shop that I used to do all my work through to do all my landscaping promotional stuff, and they began to make me stuff for free because I look like a lobbyist now. I didn't have any money behind me, but I had people helping me because they said, I'm going to do it for the good of the country. I did this job for the good of the country. It didn't come with a paycheck. I had over 11,000 hours of advocacy, 5 trips to Washington, D.C., 4 bills, 7 states I drove to and hit every congressional district in my way. And I had to do this honorably.
Well, honorably. I think one of the key statements you made there really for me, when you said the veteran community is an at-risk community, I think I really like that phrase because it's a true phrase. Well, I'm not suggesting anything else. Don't get me wrong, Brian. I like that particular saying, at-risk community. And, you know, we really appreciate you taking the time to come on, Brian, because I know this.
We're going to go over a couple more little items.
Okay.
And everything. I want to ask a few more questions because I'm so intrigued on this. So
you know, typically when I come on these podcasts, I haven't done one in a while because I've really been, you know, like I said, I'm only 120 days post-op, and then I started my own podcast about 55 days ago. So like my time has been really consumed. So I haven't done one of these in a while, but I can tell you that every time, I mean, I've done hundreds of them when I was actually in the fight, in the trenches, getting support from all over the country,
right?
Getting those phones ringing. So I would get all these different members of Congress engaged, involved, and knowing the story so they could all sign on as co-sponsors of these bills. So that's what we needed. And I was, you know, raising the awareness. Now I'm just telling the story, but the story, you can't tell the story in an hour or 2 hours or even
that's
really
right.
5 hours. I mean, this is something that's been going on for years, for 6 years, and changes. And
But you're still passionate about it. That's what I love. And you're still not stopping. You're telling your story. And you got a podcast out there. I would love for you to talk about your podcast.
You know, 2019, I went to Mighty Oaks. I was in a very, very bad shape. Like I said, 40 pills a day. I had thrown in the towel. I had thrown in this towel. And I was 99% done. And I had 1% left to give. That's all I had left to give. And I didn't know if I could even get that. We had just lost our family vehicle, and a Marine chief warrant officer said, "Hey, Talley, I haven't seen you around in years, and I know you're hurting. I know you're going through a lot of bad stuff, but if you go to Mighty Oaks, I'm going to give you my little car and to help your family." And I went to Mighty Oaks, and Mighty Oaks is a faith-based retreat for veterans who are going through life challenges and obstacles. So I went to Mighty Oaks, and we got that car. You know, it was a little beater car, but that's what we needed. Like, that was a great, you know, starter car again to get us back on our feet and to go get groceries and stuff like that. And then that's when I really started to pray a lot and to put everything into God's hands and know that things happen for a reason, and that we may not always find out what those reasons are. But I prayed I would find out one day. And, you know, I was called to serve, when I did the tally bill, and I did it in a way that would make sense and that would be honorable and genuine and sincere for everybody involved. And then it passes. And now I've got a void, you know, so it passed January 5th of 2021. And it was one of the best days. I have a heart attack that day. It the excitement, and it went on for a month. Like, I couldn't, like, I was shaking. Like, I was like, all this hard work, like, it came to an end, and it's real. And it's working, and veterans are being protected as we speak. And I was out on a mindfulness walk, right? Because right now I'm pretty much medically retired. And so I wrote a book after the tally bill was done. I didn't choose this job. It chose me. And it's a very good read. Any veteran out there, it's a must read for every veteran. Even if you're a veteran supporter or just a civilian, it's a book on perseverance, resilience, and never quitting, how to strategize and effectively get things done. And it just shows the story of the guy who was broken. I mean, just an absolute a broken mess. And he would end up rebuilding himself through these 1% at a time, just getting a little bit better every single day. But so now what I do, I go out and I speak. You know, I go out and I speak to groups and I speak to corporations and stuff like that as a motivational type of speaker. But I was on a walk 55 days ago. And I swear, I don't know how I've heard these stories before from people saying, God told me to do something. And I'm like, wow, that's cool. I mean, he's never told me to do anything. And then I have this experience and it's crazy because 55 days ago, he says, hey, you need to start a podcast because we think that you can really be a good voice in the veteran community. We think that you could really reach a lot of people who are hurting out there. And so I don't know how to do a podcast. So I just came home. I thought about it. Man, what would I talk about? And what would I name it? And like how would I do it? And how would I find people? And literally I prayed on it. And that next day was a Tuesday. I was out on that walk on a Monday. And I woke up on Tuesday and I said, I'm going to do it. And it's going to be called Tuesday's Fatality. And I had my first podcast, and it was on Facebook Live. With one of my friends in San Antonio who owns a supplement company, you know, like protein and stuff like that. And then I loved it. And I wasn't good at it. And I sucked. I mean, I was just like, well, hey, man, so what's up? You know, I was like, yeah, this is my podcast. Tuesday's Vitaly. Yeah. He's like, hey, good luck. I'm like, yeah, you know, if it doesn't last for another, you know, week or two, whatever. And it didn't. And day two came and I did another one. And then Day three came, I did another one, and I started to get better and better and better. So I'm 55 days into it now, and I created a YouTube page, I have a Facebook page, and I just created a Twitter account for Tuesdays with Tally. And what I do is I interview everybody. I've interviewed news anchors that covered my story that aren't even veterans, because the mission and the goal of my podcast is to add real life value to everyday people. And so everybody out there has some sort of value that can be added to anybody's life. And so even though I have a lot of veterans on my program, but I also have a lot of just regular civilians, regular Joes, because in my eyes, you don't have to join the military to serve your country. We all get called in different directions. You know, the guy who walks my community every day and picks up trash, he's serving his country. He's serving his community.
Yeah.
And he's doing it honorably. There are so many ways that you could serve, and people don't understand that. It's so easy to serve. And there's so many different branches and subsections of serving. Well, I get those people on and I talk about it. I said, what kind of value can you add to my listeners? Tell me what it's like to drive that Uber car. Do you get paid well? Tell me some stories, you know, or, you know, I had on John Tegan the other day, you know, in Benghazi, you know, I've had on Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And I just sit down with these guys and say, hey, look, you know, I ask some questions and, you know, and I get some, you know, some good answers and then they add some value. But see, I don't go directly for the, well, you know, what was war like and all that. I ask, how's your family? How are the kids? How do you balance your home and work life? I ask questions that really, really matter and that can add value to the lives of everyday people. Because we could all put on a war show.
That's right.
And kind of know, well, I think I know what happened. But we don't know what kind of a father John is until we ask him. Oh, wow, no one's really asked me that before. So I have a different approach with a lot of this stuff. And like I said, I don't have any training in this. I just did it one day. The same way that I didn't choose this job, it chose me. And I started off broken and I finished. And this book title is very, it's powerful. That's a man that is no longer broken, that was looking at a broken me. These are all broken. You got that flag and you got that Capitol building. Cause I was working on behalf of 20.2 million American veterans. It didn't matter what side you're on, the left, the right, the independent, whatever the hell it is. I was in there representing every piece of fabric of this country. And I stayed on that goal and until that mission was complete. And like I said, if I can reach anybody out there today, guys, adversity is something that we're all going to go through. And really at the end of the day there for a while, I thought I was bulletproof from it. I'm like, man, I'm 38 years old. I've never really had any real issues. I've kicked life's ass. And then boom. And then we lost. We got our asses kicked for quite some time. But now it feels good to be back on the winning end. But to be on the winning end still hurts because of the loss that and the health that, you know, has taken a toll on my body. But I'm happy. I can say I'm honestly happy for the first time in a very, very, very long time. Because when I was going through my illness and my sickness, I wouldn't even use an emotion. I was pretty much just dead. And then for those 3.5 years I was working in Congress, I was an anxiety riddled mess. And that's all that was on my mind. I was obsessed and I wouldn't sleep. So I just started living again, like 1.5 years ago. So it feels good.
That's awesome.
We certainly really appreciate all the hard work and dedication you put into getting that bill passed. And so there's an outlet for people when there's yeah. things that people did wrong, that needed to be, you know, corrected, you know, appreciate, you know, correct. Took a lot of dedication, a lot of time and effort on your part and the people that working side by side with you. Because it takes a team, not one individual. It takes a team every time. And we appreciate you doing that. And thank you.
Yeah.
And that's what our focus is on. Our focus is in helping the veterans know their benefits. I mean, I'm talking about all veterans. And to let the Gulf War veterans know that, hey, you know what? You got an outlet. Come to us. Come talk to us. You know what? You don't have to be on our podcast. But if you need help, if you need something, that's what we're there for. Because a lot of guys mm-hmm. out there in the veteran community don't know that all the outlets that is out there for them. And that's what we want to help teach. And
right.
and that's one thing. I want to say this for you, Brian. Man, you're a diehard damn Marine. That's all I can say for I mean, and you're a great person, on top of that, for what you've been through, the experience you're at, and you're sitting here telling us your story that we can't imagine. I'm over here going, well, shit, I feel like a sissy with my feet burning after what you're going through and the trauma and then what your wife had to go through. I mean, I sit back and I praise you and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I know my listeners are going to listen to this and say, holy crap, this is what we need in this country to get us back on track. But as I'm just going to say this, and I know John's probably going to give me that a side eye look. Why do we have to have bills to take care of our vets? If you screw up in this country, if you screw up doing something, take accountability. That's how I feel about it. Take the damn accountability for what you've done. I'm grateful for the PACT Act, for the Camp Lejeune. That's it. Because number one, we should not need a PACT Act to take care of our veterans when they know they poisoned us, when they know we've been poisoned, when they screw up surgeries, when they do stuff. We shouldn't have to have legislation. And for all these politicians, if you're listening to me tonight, and you can hear me very loud, get off your asses and do your jobs and start taking care of your country and your veterans. That's how I feel. That's why I'm passionate about this, is because I feel like that over the years, we have not taken care of our people. And it's time to.
In addition to that, I was doing the job of a congressman.
That's right.
And I have four, and these four bills behind me were done by myself and my legislative team and approved through all these members of Congress to get it on the House floor and to get the bill signed into law by President Trump. I did the job of a member of Congress. Why did it take a guy that was broken, that was down to his final last 1%?
Right. Right.
To do the job of the very people that we have elected to work for us. I didn't even have a voice. I had no voice. I had to create my own voice.
And
how do you create your own voice when you're literally dead, nearly dead?
Right.
You've just survived this insane infection. You've lost your company. You've lost your business. You've lost your congressman. You've been denied, denied, denied. You have nowhere to go. So I boarded a plane, dropped in my own damn bill.
Yes.
And I delivered it to every daggone office that there was. Again, but I served with honor, with courage and commitment, the same hallmarks I served as a United States Marine and those same hallmarks that I've kept as a civilian. You know, because like I said, I got kids and they look up to me. I'm their leader. So I've got to be that, you know, that good influence and that, you know, good, you know, provider. Like I said, there's more ways to provide than monetary value, you know, it's through counsel and through learning and through experience and through knowledge and through wisdom. You know, there's so much out there, but there are still some good people out there that are willing to put in the hard work to get things done, you know, for the greater good of the country. You know, and I pray for my country every single day. I know we're going through some hard times right now. But I think that there's enough good out there to overcome the evil that, you know, that is upon us.
I totally agree. And John, do you got anything you want to add before we go?
No, I'm good.
So. I'm shocked. I'm over here like, wow. And everything. And Brian, you got anything you want to add?
No, not really, man. Just, you know, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And, you know, and if anybody wants to hear more of the story, like I said, I have a book. You can go to Amazon and just type in Brian Talley book, or I didn't choose this job. It chose me. Or if they want to check out a couple of my podcasts, all they got to do is search Tuesdays with Talley, T-A-L-L-Y. And you know, we can connect and, yeah, the rest is history, man.
Man, I hope we stay in touch. We live close by. You should come by.
Yeah, I want to get down to your. I need to get down to your barber shop. I haven't gotten out in a while. I've been I've been stuck here.
Whenever you get a chance, you just walk in and everything. I definitely would want to meet you in person and shake your hand.
And I need a haircut.
I'm not saying nothing about your hair. I'm not saying nothing about John's hair. But I want each and every one of y'all to know. But before I let everybody go, the elderly, all the way down to the young, we all need to stick together. Every veteran needs to connect. That's what we're doing. And I want everybody just to, you know, have a great night and be thankful for what you have and for what you've done for your country. But I really thank you very much, Brian. And John, I thank you. And
thanks, Brian. Thank you, Kevin.
Y'all have a great night. Thank you for listening to Go For Side Effects. If you have any stories you would like to share, or just have any comments or questions, please email me at kevinsimon@goforcesideeffects.com. Just to let all of our listeners know, we have opened an online store. All proceeds will go to helping veterans connect. The link will be in the description below.